Welcome back to A Closer Look with Rose Scott. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In the last few days, the Georgia State Legislature has pushed along a bill aimed at cracking down further on child sex trafficking in Georgia. WABE, of course, has covered the child sex trafficking battle for several years now, but part of that bill requires adult entertainment establishments to pay an annual regulatory fee. In the current version of the bill, it's $5,000 or 1% of their gross revenue, whichever is greater. Alan Begner is an attorney for many of the adult entertainment establishments in Georgia. He joins us now. Mr. Begner, welcome. Good to have
you. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for inviting me.
This annual fee has been talked about before. It's back now in the latest version of the bill. Do the adult entertainment establishments have any real problem with paying money to a fund that would help the victims of child sex trafficking? Because that's where this dedicated money would go.
The industry certainly has a problem with compelled taxation of speech, which is illegal. The clubs have no connection to minors who are prostitutes. In Atlanta, DeKalb County, the clubs are required to make dancers and all employees get permits. The dancers have to go to Licenses and Permits Division of Atlanta Police before they dance and be fingerprinted. They have to prove their age and have to be at least 18. And so I don't believe that child prostitution has anything to do with adult clubs.
On that point, though, of course, false IDs are a big business. Are you saying that there's no way that an underage trafficking victim could end up as a dancer in a club?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Fake IDs can accomplish all kinds of things. But there's so much at stake. The clubs absolutely, positively don't want this to happen. And insofar as there are—
When you're saying don't want this to happen, you're referring to trafficking.
Yes. Right? Well, to having underage dancers. Because a lot of bad things can happen, and the licenses are so valuable because they're limited. And insofar as it is possible that an underage dancer could get in, it's rare.
The clubs might not be operating child sex trafficking rings. The dancers themselves may be of age, even, if we grant all of what you've said. But it is quite possible, and many advocates feel it's true, that the clubs, in terms of the surrounding area, in terms of the clientele, they just attract that kind of activity either in them or around them, whatever the age of the dancers themselves might be. You've heard that, I'm sure. What would you say to folks who say, look, the clubs themselves may not operate child sex trafficking rings, but they attract them?
Well, I disagree with that. The clubs discourage dancers from dating customers at all, something they can't control. But customers are always made to leave and clear the parking lot before dancers leave so that it is a discouragement. And I don't see any connection to helping or fostering prostitution by clubs. The opposite is true.
Are you saying, though, that there's no connection between some customers of an adult entertainment establishment and child sex trafficking, in that there might be a few people who are drawn to the adult entertainment establishment who might also look for underage girls?
I don't think there's any connection there. I mean, it's possible that anybody who goes anywhere, including to any business, including lawyers, doctors, anybody, might be drawn to young women. But the adult industry, and the clubs in particular, are absolutely, positively not involved in child fantasy. This is the opposite of what they do. And it seems to me unlikely that a customer who comes in who might want to see the dance of the dancer and who might also want to take a dancer out would have any reason to want to take children to bed. It doesn't make sense to me.
You said the dancers are kept inside till the customers are clear, but it's not the dancers necessarily that we might be worried about. It might be underage girls who are pimped outside of the club, but maybe on club property.
Well, see, I think you've hit the issue right on the nose here. The child prostitution arises not from any hub or any place in particular. It's simply, I would assume, be involved with young girls or older girls who run away from home, who then find a way to live and meet pimps who then are involved in the traffic, or without pimps, maybe they do it themselves. It's not like they come to an adult club to dance, which they can't, and then somehow use it as a springboard to go into a sex trade.
But pimps couldn't look at the customers of an adult entertainment establishment, a strip club, and say, ooh, there's a pool of potential customers for me, and go solicit them there.
Anything is possible, but, I mean, they could do it at McDonald's, too. I don't see a connection between the customers.
Except it's all part of the sex industry, if you will.
Well, I don't believe that customers who come out of adult clubs have any sort of propensity to have sex with anybody, and certainly not children. And so the notion that there is more crime associated with adult clubs in Atlanta, I think there is no basis for that. There was a study done by Fulton County Police in the late 90s that found that there was half as much trouble and fights in adult clubs as regular clubs there. That study has made its way into 20 or more Supreme Court cases in states, and three times at the U.S. Supreme Court case showing no correlation.
You mentioned that Atlanta, Fulton, DeKalb County have strict permit procedures for dancers. But what about the rest of the jurisdictions in Metro Atlanta and around the state? Because this bill is addressing far more than Metro Atlanta or Atlanta, Fulton, and DeKalb.
I can't speak for employee permit laws in other parts of the state, so I don't know.
So isn't it possible that while there may be few, if any, underage dancers in clubs in Atlanta, Fulton, and DeKalb, there might very well be some in other areas?
There might. But again, a club, adult club owner, he has a great deal to lose, or she, there are more women who own clubs than men, but she could have a lot to lose if she were to allow a 17-year-old to dance nude. This would be a serious felony to allow that, and I think that they would all, no matter where they're at, try very hard to ensure that the person is 18, has proven it, can prove it, regardless of permit requirements.
Yeah, how great would the risk be, though, if the club owner could say, well, the dancer lied to me because she had a false ID, I didn't know.
I liken this to the DUI laws, which is if you're a bar and the person shows you a really good fake ID, you're probably okay. But if it's a bad ID, you have a duty to look past the ID and form an opinion. And it's a Georgia ID, you know. But I think everyone has to really check out their age and not just blink their eyes and say, well, she showed me an ID, I'm okay.
And you think that is actually happening?
I think that people with fake IDs can do any number of things, but it's less likely that they're going to fool police, who also fingerprint them and can tell if they're using the wrong name. Plus, they check for criminal convictions within years. So you can't easily trick the police. If there is a location or another city which doesn't have employee permits, it may be easier, but certainly not in Atlanta.
Let's turn now to the proposed tax, which is $5,000 or 1% of gross revenue, whichever is greater. I mean, realistically, especially for some of the big clubs in Atlanta who draw folks from all over the place, how big a hit is that really going to be to their business?
It's less a question of what the cost is than of the unintended or intended consequences that arise. The law also allows Georgia Department of Revenue in order to enforce the amount they think you should owe, to look at your books and to otherwise discipline you or put you out of business in an easy fashion. The biggest problem is that to be found to be a cause of this, which is the only way the law can succeed to tax the adult clubs, to be found to be the cause of this will have enormous impacts and will be fought to the very end.
You also raised the constitutional ground of, okay, this is a tax on free speech, but isn't a newspaper that has to pay a sales tax being taxed on what it publishes? So how is this fee really any different from any other kind of tax or fee that, whether it's a media outlet or a theater company or whatever, might have to pay?
Well, the clubs have to themselves pay licensing fees that vary. And dancers or other employees of clubs, because all employees in Atlanta have to be permitted, pay, I think, a $350 fee. The cases and the case.
So how is this any different from that in terms of constitutionality?
Because that fee has to be limited to the reasonable amount of work that the police are required to do to see if they have a record, to fingerprint them, to cover the administrative costs, so that the cases have said that a city can charge the administrative costs reasonably required to issue permits. But I don't think that, again, the example you give is the same as this law, which is a clear tax on speech based upon the unbelievable assumption that somehow dancers at clubs are either underage or somehow dancing at a club contributes to child prostitution any more than just any other business, which it just exists and has streetwalkers nearby. Streetwalkers are everywhere.
So you're saying this fee is, in its essence, different from any of the other fees that the strip clubs already pay?
Yes, this is completely different. This is the notion that because the existence of adult clubs creates what they call secondary effects, increased crime because of their very existence, and this particular increased crime, that they can be taxed to help offset the cost of it.
And you're saying there's no evidence that those secondary effects exist?
There is none. There is nothing about an adult club that has anything to do with child sex trafficking. A under 18-year-old girl can get a permit from licenses and permits, trick them, and dance. But the fact that she's going to dance, even if all things else are the same, doesn't mean she'll have anything to do with sex or prostitution. Dancers make a good living if they work a full week. And my experience with this sort of issue as a lawyer is that if a woman can make a good living at dancing, she doesn't want to be a prostitute.
If this bill passes in its current form, you hinted at a challenge. How quickly could that challenge come? I mean, would you try to block enforcement of the bill before it ever happens?
Oh, absolutely. The bill as it's written now seems to require, in order to seek the 5,000 or 1% penalty from a club, to be treated as a constitutional amendment and be ratified by a vote. But long before that happens, I expect many clubs and other lawyers besides me to challenge that.
Alan Begner is the attorney for many of Metro Atlanta's adult entertainment establishments, strip clubs, whatever you like to call them. Mr. Begner, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check back with you as this goes along.
Thanks, Dennis.